Two stories were told of the parentage of Helen, the woman whose beauty had first plunged Europe and Asia into war. The best known claimed that she had been a Spartan, hatched from an egg after her mother, the queen, had been raped by Zeus in the form of a giant swan. A second, however, claimed that the queen of Sparta had only ever been the incubator, and that the egg itself had originally been laid by a quite different victim of Zeus's attentions. A goddess, no less, as solemn as she was mighty, as calm as she was fatal. In one hand, she held a bowl containing what was destined to be, in the other, a measuring rod employed to gauge the scale of mortal excess. Those guilty of overweening boastfulness she would bring low. None could withstand her, and the mightiest least of all. It was her habit, when she walked, to tread corpses underfoot. Her name was Nemesis. Provoke her, and the world itself might be turned upside down. As evidence, the Greeks had always pointed to the career of Croesus, once so prosperous and smug that he had dared, until Nemesis took a hand in his career, to suppose himself the happiest of men. Yet not even that offence, rank though it was, could compare on a scale of horror with that of the great king, the king of kings, the king of lands, the man whose goal it had been to make himself the master of all mankind. In Greek, only one word would serve to describe such lunatic behaviour: hubris. For this is the crime committed by any man who gains his thrills by trampling on other people, and feeling as he does so that he is proving himself preeminent. An all too human failing, perhaps, and yet one to which barbarians, by their intemperate nature, and monarchs, by their rank, were peculiarly prone. The Greeks, who had always suspected this to be the case, now had, in Xerxes, their clinching proof. What had been the fruit, after all, of the great king's staggering ambition, his unprecedented power, his armies, his fleets, his greatness? A record without parallel of offences against Nemesis. Her vengeance had been swift and sure. "This exploit is not ours," Themistocles, a man hardly given to modesty, and with much to be immodest about, had piously averred after Salamis. "The gods, the heroes who guard our cities, they resented the impious presumption of the king, a man who was not content with the throne of Asia, but sought the rule of Europe too, who treated temples as though they were mere assemblages of bricks and mortar, who burnt and toppled the statues of the gods. Treading the blood-manured fields of Plataea, surveying the tangled corpses of the great king's finest fighting men, stripping his splendid tent bare, the conquerors of Mardonius could assert the same. All knew to whom the victory was owed. The goddess's handiwork was clear." But she was not finished yet. One final twist remained.